We're going to have a word of prayer. We're in Luke chapter 13. Going to jump into it. Father God, I thank you that you are with us. On the mountaintops, in the valley, and everywhere in between, Lord, you are with us. You never leave us. You never forsake us. You are true and trustworthy. You are good. I thank you, Lord, it's not just about how I feel. I thank you that it's faith, and I thank you that you are trustworthy. Even when I can't feel your touch or hear your voice, you are still present. Lord, pray that you would pour your presence upon this place. I pray, Lord, that you would open your word. I pray you'd help us to rightly divide it, to keep it in a context. I pray that we would allow it to move and change in us. And I pray we would see things clearer. I ask, Lord, that you would forgive us for our sins. Because we do. Forgive us for all of our sins. Help us to be humble and reverent and in awe of you. And again, I pray you would grow us and disciple us. We ask it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said. If you have your Bibles, we're in chapter 13. I'm going to start in verse 10. I think so often we can become very rigid, very set in our ways. We get in ruts. We want things our way. It's about our opinion. It's our customs. And sometimes I think we get so rigid and so wrapped up into us that we miss what God's doing around us. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues. As far as we know, this is one of the last times we know of that he teaches in the synagogues. Whether that he was done with that and he was teaching in other places by his choice, or whether they didn't want him in there because he would have been controversial by this point, right? To say the least. Some of the big dogs did not like him. And so some of the synagogue rulers probably thought it was easier not to have him in. One of the last times he teaches in the synagogues, and I believe that's a big part of his heart is to teach. I believe he wants people to know. He wants people to understand. He doesn't want them to be ignorant. He wants them to get it. So he continued to teach. It said it was on a Sabbath. What day of the week would that Sabbath have been? Why do we celebrate on Sunday? Yeah, it's the resurrection day. We celebrate on Sunday the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's still a celebration of the completion of creation, and it's still a celebration of the completion of the redemption. Right? I mean, we celebrate when we come together the day that he rested and that creation was completed, but also that the redemption story was completed. He was raised from the dead. Does it matter what day? It matters that there is a day, and it matters about your heart. So it was on a Sabbath. Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. I can imagine some people are thinking, oh, like it was a spirit. She was just crippled, and that's what they blamed it on. Listen, I believe sometimes it's just physical. Sometimes it's just your body's wearing out. It's just a fallen, cursed world. And sometimes we're physically hindered because we're physically hindered. And sometimes it can be spiritual. And it can be the enemy. And he can do nasty things. And this time it happens to be spiritual. How do I know that? Because it said so. Crippled by a spirit for 18 years. 18 years. It's so easy to read through that and miss it. That is a lot of hard mornings and long nights. That is a lot of pain and suffering. 18 years. That's even older than Lauren still. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, that's a line that has caught my attention. Jesus saw her. You know, he was usually surrounded by masses of people, everybody wanting his attention, everybody wanting him to fix, whether it was their physical problems or their inheritance, and them and their brothers fight with inheritance or whatever it is. They wanted him to fix it. They wanted his attention, and he saw her. He was busy. I know that we all in our culture think we're busy. He was busy. He had huge amount of ministry he was doing. He was busy, but he saw her. If you're going to zone out on the rest of the sermon, I pray that we are not so busy and so wrapped up into us that we miss what he puts in front of us. He saw her. When Jesus saw her, he called for her forward and said to her, did you catch the part that he called her and she came? He spoke to her and she came. I believe he calls us sometimes and we push him away. We're too busy with everything else in our life. We're so worried about the material and the temporary, we push him back. She heard his voice and she came. By the way, I believe he sees us. He knows us, and I believe he calls us to have a relationship with him. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." He did it with a word. He spoke a word and she was healed. But he didn't just speak the word. Look what he does. It goes on. Then he put his hand on her. Sometimes, can you imagine? I mean, it doesn't talk about her husband or her kids. I don't know the whole background. But sometimes just that gentle touch, that comfort. To me, what I see in this section is pure compassion. His love and his compassion. He cares. She was probably somebody that many people walked by and didn't take a second thought or a second glance. But he called, he sees her, he calls her forward, he speaks that she is set free, and he touches her in compassion. That's what I see here. I see the love of God for his people. Did you pick up the fact that she was there to worship? It wouldn't be easy for her to get there to worship, I don't think. It took effort for her. She was crippled. It was work for her, and it probably hurt. And she was probably in pain. And she still was there to worship because she desired to worship. That preaches because, you know, sometimes we want to skip what we should be doing because, I don't know, stayed up and watched Purdue last night or whatever. They lost. What a horrible loss. I'm still fretting about that loss. Moving on, basketball, if you didn't know what we were talking about. People skip for all kinds of reasons. She didn't skip. She wanted to be there to worship. You can see her heart, I believe. So this section so far, this part so far is beautiful, isn't it? Jesus sees her and he heals her, and she's excited. And immediately she straightened up. She's healed immediately. No hesitation. She's healed and praised God. He healed her and she praised the Lord for it. You know, that didn't always happen. Remember the lepers, right? They didn't all come back and give thanks. She thanked him immediately. Praised God immediately. It's a beautiful section, a beautiful story. And then you get to verse 14 and it starts out with indignant. How in the world can you look at what Jesus just did and then the next word is indignant? What in the world are we talking about? How is somebody indignant? Because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. He was indignant. He was mad. He was frustrated. He was upset because Jesus healed on the Sabbath. The synagogue ruler said to the people, so who was upset? Who was mad? The ruler, the synagogue ruler, a big dog in charge of the synagogue, right? He was mad. Why was he mad? Because Jesus healed on the Sabbath. They weren't supposed to heal on the Sabbath unless it was life or death. They also weren't supposed to travel, and they weren't supposed to cook, and they weren't supposed to buy, and they weren't supposed to sell, and they were only allowed to walk a certain distance because it would have been work. clear back in Exodus, it says this. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and he made it holy. I don't believe he rested because he was wore out. I believe he rested to give us an example of a work week. He's God. So, did God create the Sabbath to be a burden to man? Because what they did is they made it a burden. They added a bunch of man's rules. Listen to me. Be careful whenever God says something and then man adds rules to it. Rules to control. About control. And they added a bunch of man-made laws and rules to it. Henry Morris says the Sabbath was not intended to be ritualistic burden, but a blessing. To remind us of the Creator and to give physical and spiritual renewal. It's to help us to stop and think of Him and worship Him and spend time with Him. And so you're not so wrapped up in the craziness of the world, but you take time with Him. But you also rest physically and renew spiritually. That's what it's about. It's not about burdens to beat you down. It's to bless you and build you up. Mark, in the Gospel of Mark, says it like this. Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." How is he Lord of the Sabbath? He is the Creator. He is the one that rested on the seventh day. This is Jesus. Everything that was created by him, right? He's the Creator and he rested. He knows what this is about. He understands it. This is not secondhand. He gets it. But it was made for man to bless us. Not us for it. It shouldn't rule us. It's to bless us. And man used it. They used it to add their own stuff to it, to control. And the burden was heavy. It should be used for its intended purpose, to remember God and to rest and get spiritual renewal. Not just for trivial pleasure, but to remember Him and to rest and renew. So he's upset. You can see that his intent of worship is different than her intent of worship. She came there, I believe, with a heart to truly worship. He came because of ceremony and ritual and because it was a duty. That's how I see it. And he was mad because it didn't go down the way he planned it. Have you ever been there? Don't raise your hand. You don't have to raise your hand to that. You ever been there? You think that you're in charge and things don't go the way you want them to, so you get mad. That's what's going on. Jesus knows what's going on. So he said to the people, the ruler of the synagogue, the guy that was indignant, the guy that was mad, the ruler of the synagogue said, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." Why did he not attack Jesus? Jesus is the one he healed. Why didn't he go after Jesus? He didn't go after Jesus. He went after the people. Why? Because he knew that Jesus, he couldn't compete. I believe he knew that he couldn't argue. I believe he didn't have the oomph in him to attack Jesus. He didn't have the gumption. He didn't have the fight in him. I think he knew that he was outmatched. This is my take on it. I believe he knew that he was outmatched, but he could go after the people because they, to him and his, and I'm reading into it, but were subordinate to him. They were under him. He felt more confident and more secure in attacking the people than he did Jesus, so he laid it out on the people. And he said, "If you're going to be healed, don't come in here on the Sabbath and do it." He's missing the whole point of what the Sabbath is about. The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites." He uses that word often, doesn't he? "You hypocrites." Pretending to have this zeal for the Lord when it was really all about wanting to attack him. NIV talks about that in their study notes. I think they're right on. They have this pretend zeal, and they're all messed up in their head. You hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath day untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? He's saying, you do work on the Sabbath all the time, you hypocrite. You go out and you untie your donkey or your ox, you walk it over, you get it water, and you tie it back up. That's work. But you have more concern about your donkey or your ox than you do this woman. You're more concerned about your rituals and your ceremonies and your animals than you are her, you hypocrite. He's saying, you're missing it, man. Do people do that? Absolutely, we do. Absolutely, we do. Do people get wrapped up in rituals and ceremonies and miss it? Have you ever heard the stories where somebody's on their deathbed dying and somebody comes in and says, well, you're not saved unless we baptize you, because if we don't baptize you, it doesn't work? And if you're not submerged or you're not baptized like we think you should be baptized, you're not saved? Have you ever heard of people doing that? Because I have. Are you kidding me? Like some other pastor can't baptize somebody and doesn't affect him? Who in the world do we think we are? He's saying, you work all the time, you hypocrite. Then should not this woman, again, she's a woman, she has feelings and dreams and she's human. This woman, a daughter of Abraham, she's part of them. She's one of us, he's saying. This dear daughter, one of us, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years. Again, it was a spiritual battle. 18 long years. Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her? And the answer to that is absolutely. Absolutely. Luke 6:9 says this, then Jesus said to them, I ask you, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? What is better to do on the Sabbath? Isn't it better to heal? Isn't it better to help? When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated. You think they couldn't fight back? He proved that they were wrong. They knew that they were wrong. They were humiliated. But the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. Do you see the rift? It's growing. The division's growing. There are people that hated him. They despised him because of their pride and because of their jealousy and because of their desire for power and desire for control. They couldn't stand it. And there were people that were delighted with him and loved him and adored him. And the separation was growing. What does this have to do with us at 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning? One, I pray that we see the people that he puts on our path that others walk by and walk over. That he would give us eyes to see and open hearts, that we're not so wrapped up in us and our agendas and our opinions and our customs that we walk over people that he puts on our path to reach out to. And number two, for time's sake, that we keep the word in context. That it would be much more of a relationship and a lot less about religion. It would be way more about him and a lot less about us. Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship and it is a faith. Religion is man working their way to God, and you can't do it. It's grace. I pray you have a relationship with him. Are there things that we're called to do as believers, as his children? Absolutely. right? He tells us things that are better for us. If we follow what he says, it's better for us. Amen? His laws, his ways are better for us. And it also shows our obedience, and our obedience shows our love for him. So we should follow what he says because it's better for us and because we love him and we want to follow him. But watch out when you're following him that you don't get wrapped up into religion and man-made laws that control you and suck you down and pull you farther away. Use your faith, not your religion, your faith and your walk with him to reach people for Jesus Christ. Father God, I pray that you would give us the heart and eyes to see and a heart that's opened. And Lord, that we would know you as our Lord and Savior. We would have a relationship with you. We would grow in faith. And Lord, it wouldn't be about traditions and the laws of men. It would be seeking you and your will and your ways and your desire. That pleasing you would be the desire of our hearts. Pray that we'd be the church you call us to be. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. So speak.